This is episode 006 with Tom Merrick.
It was an interesting experience, like, because you ultimately end up doing the same thing over and over again. It's this very incremental improvement. It feels like it's impossible for a long, long time. And certainly, I'd say there's a good mental aspect to having to put yourself through that sort of process. But really, that could be like anything, because any of these skills in bodyweight training, for most people, is going to be a multi-year sort of progression. It's going to take you time. Nobody really gets these things in a month or 2 months or 3 months, which is kind of why I like it. That's kind of what I said earlier about, like, you can tell when somebody's put the time in and they're dedicated and they've got to practice because they'll be good. You can't get there without it.
Welcome to the Behind the Fitness podcast, where we interview the world's most motivating and successful fitness trainers, instructors, and coaches to inspire people to be their very best every day. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Ted James. Let's get going. Our guest helps millions of people with bodyweight movement, handstands, and flexibility. Men's Health calls him a certified pro of calisthenics. He's practiced bodyweight training for nearly a decade now. I want to welcome Tom Merrick, founder of Bodyweight Warrior. Today, we're really going to get to know Tom and understand how to harness our warrior energy. But before that, Tom, can you tell us something that you believe makes you successful in health or fitness that many people might disagree with?
I appreciate it. I've never heard that Men's Health quote before.
Oh, yes.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
And now you know.
Fair enough. Sorry, what was the question? What makes...
Yeah.
It's not off to a good start.
Can you tell us something that you believe can make you successful in health or fitness that many people might disagree with?
Oh, okay. I don't think so, to be fair. I feel like my whole thing is about trying to make it more simple. So I don't think I have necessarily things that other people would disagree with. I just think potentially maybe other people overlook. I don't know. I feel, and this has been like a bit of a recent thing. I feel like at the moment I'm just like doing the thing is the most important thing. It kind of doesn't really matter what you do. So to answer your question, I would say I don't actually have anything.
And that's all right, yeah.
But as long as people are doing something, I think that's a great start.
I agree, yes. Getting out of the seat is a big step these days. But it's so easy to just keep sitting.
Not even that. No, even more into, like, you know, when people are like, oh, body weight's better than weight training or whatever the argument may be, like, it's all good. Whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I definitely have a lot of different styles of fitness that I try to do. And I personally think that works great for me, is to even jump around instead of just focusing on one thing too. So great.
Yeah. It's got to be fun, right? Absolutely. I will add that with a caveat that, like, constantly doing lots of different things is probably the best way to make no progress. Like, you're still moving and still doing stuff, but ultimately, like, you're just doing too many things to make really, really good progress. Like, you look at anyone who's really good at what they do, they generally just do one thing. They're quite, you know, yes, one-dimensional, I guess, in terms of their practice. But that's just the nature of it. It depends what you enjoy doing. Do you enjoy getting good and making progress, or do you enjoy the variety? I think a lot of people fit into the latter.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. All right, well, can you give us a little bit more background on yourself, and then tell us what drove you to find your love for bodyweight training? And what is the story from the very beginning, and how did you progress to decide to create the Bodyweight Warrior?
Sure. I mean, apologies for those who have heard this before. I don't think I have a particularly dramatic backstory at all. It's just, you know, it's always been a pretty gradual passion project. But, you know, whatever I've done in life, I've always gone deep into trying to understand it better. I whatever sport that I've done as a kid, I've probably infinitely annoyed my friends by telling them what they should and shouldn't do, whether it was my place to do so or not. So I feel like it's always been in me to some extent. But certainly as I was sort of 18, 19, 20, I was making less good lifestyle decisions around starting university and just not exercising, eating junk food, just your normal sort of stuff really at the end of the day. And decided that I wanted to make a change. Initially, I was massively into bodybuilding. I did a little bit of powerlifting as well. The main focus was really like around aesthetics, to be honest with you. I mean, who doesn't like looking good, right?
Right, especially when you're young.
Yeah,
one of the main drivers.
Go to the gym. Yeah, and I think that's like, you know, that's part of it. Part of, you know, no, as the old Socrates quote would say, it's, you know, no man should grow old without knowing the beauty and strength of which his body is capable of. So beauty is an important aspect of that. You've got to feel good about the skin you're in. Then I had glandular fever or mono, I think it would be called in the US. Mm-hmm. Quite a common thing to get in like your early 20s-ish, just, you know. And that sort of like wiped me out. It's like a viral fatigue sort of thing. So I was sort of in bed for a few weeks and just, I think I lost basically like 2 or 3 years worth of progress that I made in the gym.
Oh no.
In like, that's 2 weeks.
Defeating.
Which is not what I liked it. But then it also kind of reiterates, you know, that nature of impermanence and the fact that these things are a little bit arbitrary and don't always stick around. And that was really when I got into bodyweight training, because the doctor was like, you shouldn't really go back to lifting weights straight away. Like, you should ease yourself back into things, do easier stuff. So I was like, do you know what would be easy? It'll be bodyweight. Bodyweight's nice and easy. although I was vastly wrong with that one.
Yes.
So I started off, you know, probably looking at Reddit, bodyweight fitness, the recommended routine on there, doing, you know, pull-ups, rows, push-ups, just simple stuff. And then gradually that kind of escalated, I guess. I discovered the planche, the front lever, discovered handstands. I'd say handstands probably one of the biggest drivers for me personally.
Okay.
Getting into bodyweight training, because it's fun. Like, number one, you can't fake a handstand. You can try to fake a handstand with a screenshot, but like actually, if you could do a handstand, it means you've trained consistently for a period of time anyway.
Right.
You can't fake it. You can't just naturally do a handstand unless you've been a gymnast.
Yeah, it's always impressive when you see someone do a handstand, no matter where you are.
Yeah, I mean, now in the point I'm like more one-arm handstand, I'm like, if I see somebody who's got a one-arm, I'm like, I know you did 10 to 15 hours work a week for at least a couple of years to be in that position. Like, I, you know, respect somebody who's got there, you know. Not that this, you know, it's just interesting to see people put the time in.
Absolutely, yes.
I think it's you know, a lot of things maybe in life you don't need to have that time, or there's not something that's so obvious that somebody has put that effort in. But yeah, handstands, or probably more so than the strength or flexibility side of things, because some people are naturally strong, naturally flexible.
That is true.
But yeah, apart after that, you know, I was a gymnastics team at my university or college that I was at, and they were like national level, so I'd watch them do planche and Maltese on rings, and I was like, damn, that looks really cool. I'll do that in a few years time. Little did I know that I'd been training for like 10 plus years and 20 hours a week to get to the point where they're at. So yeah, it was just fun, and it was different. And yeah, I just got carried away at that, and probably should have focused more on my degree, but ultimately I ended up sharing some videos about it, and that's now what I do for a job.
right. Yeah. So how did you exactly start the bodyweight warrior then? You said you started uploading some videos and then it did just take off, or how, what did that look like?
I was originally actually posting like coffee photos on Instagram at the time.
Oh, coffee. All right.
Yeah, if anyone knows me, then I, like, I'm a bit obsessed with coffee. But I had like when I went to university, I sold my car at the time, because I couldn't afford a car, like to maintain it whilst I was at university.
Okay.
And I had like a lump of money, and I was like, do you know what this would be an investment, a good investment choice would be to buy a coffee machine. So that's what I did. But essentially I was the person spamming like random coffee art photos on Instagram.
All right.
And then gradually that sort of shifted to like more handstands and flexibility and that sort of things. But I was actually out in California, and my uncle's partner said to me, she was like, you should make some YouTube videos. Like, YouTube's really big for this sort of stuff. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything, but I'll share kind of my experience. So I had some prior experience of YouTube, because I used to make gaming videos. That was what I spent my teenage years doing, playing far too much. I say far too much. It was good times. I spent a lot of time playing Call of Duty and then editing those Call of Duty videos. And I think I had about 4,000 or 5,000 subscribers like years ago.
Oh, all right.
On an editing channel, and I used to edit for channels which had hundreds of thousands of subscribers. So that was like old school YouTube, simpler times.
Right, now everybody's on it.
Yes, it's true. So I just started chucking up videos, kind of my experience. I sort of filmed some videos of me going through Daniel Vadnell Fitness FAQs programs, kind of sharing my experience with that. But it was never, I never created it with the intent of like, I'm going to tell people what to do. I was just like, I'm just going to share kind of what I've learned and see if it helps people out. It was never really like an intention for anything more than that.
Okay. And it sounds like it definitely has helped a lot of people out now, hasn't it?
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. Great. So what does that look like? I know you have your own programs now through Bodyweight Warrior. What does that look like from somebody just starting with little to no experience in bodyweight training and then progressing to someone you know who could do a handstand or something like that?
I mean, it really depends, you know, how long is a piece of string? It depends on how far you want to take this. Because, you know, if you just want to be strong, healthy, like realistically, we don't need to do too much. Can you do some chin-ups? I think 6 chin-ups is a good standard if you're a woman or a man. 6 chin-ups is a good standard. Obviously, it's a little bit more challenging to get to that level as a woman. We have relatively, the strength relationships between the upper and lower bodies are a little bit different. But certainly, like, can you do some chin-ups? Can you do some dips? Yeah, that's a basic level of strength that you need. It'll just serve you better in life as well. And then outside of that, like, do you just want to take this further? Do you want to learn handstands? Then you're gonna need to dedicate some time to that. Do you want to get more flexible? It's all about why, really. There's no right or wrong with this. It's like what training is there to serve your life. Training isn't life, you know.
Okay. So
and if training is your life, then we're gonna go deep and we're gonna like do some cool things.
Yeah. Well, can you talk about more about what those cooler things would be? If somebody really wanted to dedicate themselves, if that was their goal.
Well,
I'm sure there's a ton, yeah, but some examples.
I think the one-arm handstand is a particularly interesting one. Because I think for myself personally, that was like almost 3 years of just like, I don't know, time that it's from even from like, I'd probably been in handstands 2 years before that point as well. It was like 3 years of sort of consistent time and, it was probably, yeah, it was an interesting experience. Like, cause you ultimately end up doing the same thing over and over again. It's this very incremental improvement. It feels like it's impossible for a long, long time. And certainly I'd say there's a good mental aspect to having to put yourself through that sort of process. But really that could be like anything. Cause any of these skills in bodyweight training for most people is going to be a multi-year sort of progression. It's going to take you time. Nobody really gets these things in a month or 2 months or 3 months, which is kind of why I like it.
Okay.
That's kind of what I said earlier about, like, you can tell when somebody's put the time in and they're dedicated and they've got to practice because they'll be good. You can't get there without it.
That makes me have even more respect for the gymnast and people you see on TV do these things. You don't realize.
Gymnasts are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I think in an Olympic event, we should just get somebody from the audience and be like, look, give it your best shot at doing any of these apparatus. Like, literally just do whatever you want. And then we'll let the gymnast go. Because, like, you watch it on TV and everyone's just, like, flipping and doing things and just landing it perfectly.
Right.
But that is just, that's so ridiculously inhuman what they're doing. Until you go try it, you're like, okay, right. So these guys are on another level of physical ability.
I believe that. Yeah. It's easy to see things on TV, especially these days when you have all these different action shows and, you know, it's all pretend, but then these real gymnasts go out there and do these flips and things you see superheroes doing. And, I think it's probably easy for me to not respect it as much just because I'm like, maybe I'm.
I think people don't understand it really. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, we see so much ridiculous stuff on a daily basis with social media. Like, you see people doing, ridiculous things. And I think as well, like, that has massively upped the levels of what people are able to do. So I remember, I was actually having this conversation the other day, and I was like, I remember getting into this, and I would see people doing like, just like straddle planche or something, or one arm chin up. And that was like, that was good back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I'm not that old, but like, when I remember when I first started out, like, that was good. And nowadays, like, what I thought was good when I started out and like what my goals were is now like almost the basic level of strength that most people are working at these days. It's just I think it's just because of social media, and like people are just constantly pushing the boundaries, chucking out like what they're working on, and those people right at their top end. But that, like, what people consider ridiculous is, I just can't even wrap my head around it these days.
Do you think it's kind of a confidence thing that's passed on from one person to the other? I see you doing something, then I know it's attainable.
Yeah, massively. I think, I mean, obviously that happens on an individual level, as I talked about. So like the one arm or press to hands on, or really anything, like a lot of these movements, because they are that significant time, and there's no real like graduated exposure. So, you know, if weightlifting were like on a lift, 225 pounds, whatever it is, you know, 100 kilos, we could work up to that. We can do 90 kilos, 80 kilos, and all this sort of stuff. But you either can or you can't with bodyweight training. So there certainly is a point that people have to go through where they're like, this feels impossible for me, until you do it once, and then it's no longer impossible. But that happens as well on an external level, just by seeing people, whether that's in person or online, you're like, holy shit, that guy's doing this. Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh.
And then you get lots of, obviously, like, this kind of almost filters down, because you have a select amount of people. Not everyone's going to be able to do one arm planches. Like, it's just fucking ridiculous,
right?
But some people can.
but then I could make that, see that, and see that it's possibly attainable, make it a goal of mine, and then if I have the desire,
you'll start working towards it. And even if you get like some of the way there, like, you'll still probably be pretty damn good.
Right. Well, I know with the Bodyweight Warrior, you talk about the way of the warrior. What does that mean exactly, and how can how can we focus on our own warrior energy?
Sure. I mean, so the way of the warrior isn't maybe as most people would think of when you hear the word warrior.
Okay.
We're not going out there like training balls to wall and doing ridiculous stuff, or starting fights for that matter. It's not about being, it's not about your typical warrior. It's in relation to, so some Jungian philosophy. So Carl Jung was a psychologist, I guess philosopher as well, you could say, back early 20th century, not early 20th, early to mid 20th century.
Okay.
If you don't know who Carl Jung is, I highly recommend just dipping your toes in the waters. He's fascinating. And, you know, it leads to a lot later stuff. He was sort of influenced by Nietzsche and Schopenhauer and lots of other things. So it's a whole kind of that... I don't know, the sort of philosophical enlightenment that happened around Europe around that time. I would say, like, Jung is a good example of that. Some people love him, some people hate him. I'm not saying everything he says is absolutely right. I like some of his philosophies, and I find it interesting to just think about.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, he wrote a lot about archetypes and archetypal patterns that happened as part of, I don't know, being human. And one of these archetypes was the warrior. Well, this is actually based on a book by Robert Moore, who was one of, I believe, Carl Jung's students, but it's based off the Jungian philosophy. And the warrior archetype is a masculine energy archetype.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is not like this only applies to men, because within all of us, we have some aspect of masculine and feminine. We have some aspect of good and bad, or as Carl Jung would say, there's an element of the shadow within us as well. So, you know, this applies to both men and women, but the warrior is essentially one of the four energies. You have the king, magician, warrior, lover. All of these represent different aspects that is kind of masculinity in its, I guess, wholeness or proper form, proper expression.
Okay.
And the warrior energy is all about, it's all about getting shit done. Which is kind of the energy that you need to harness to have the motivation to go out and do stuff. Whether that, you know, if you think maybe the samurai would probably be a great example of a culture that harnessed that warrior energy. People who are disciplined to their craft, who did things for the right reasons as well. Who put the time in, who developed practice. And, you know, you could say that the warrior energy is also aggressive, but aggressive doesn't mean like going out, starting fights and bullying. That's not a good representation of that. Aggressive means like working towards things with enthusiasm and diligence, which is, yeah, just what you need to be able to achieve anything in life. You need to harness the warrior energy. So
right.
I think it mainly pays relevance to training because obviously you need that, but as I said, many other things. And yeah, so that's from a book called The King, Magician, Warrior, Lover. I'm sure I butchered many parts of it, but it's a great book. I read it when I was like 19, 20, had a massive impact on my personal thinking, my awareness of myself.
Okay.
And it's something I like to dip in and out of as well, like as well as some other philosophical, psychological things as well that I'd like to read and consider.
No, that's good. That's good. And I'll definitely put it in the show notes for anybody else who wants to look into that further.
Yeah, it's worth a read, even if, like, as I said, man or woman is still relevant. Even if you disagree with this sort of stuff, worth reading. It's always worth reading opinions that you don't necessarily disagree with to either challenge your own or maybe it confirms what you're already thinking, whatever it may be.
Okay, yeah, and just work it out in your own logic, in your own mind.
Yeah.
So it's more about the inner warrior, so in the inner battles you have with yourself, which are the hardest anyways.
Yeah, for sure. I just think it seems to sum up really the intent that we're after with training. I think training is like a, you know, it's a form of, I would say, you know, it's more aggressive than probably many things we end up doing in our lives, unless maybe you're doing like a martial arts or something. There's that element of like outward aggression and energy. So I don't know. I just thought it fitted nicely. And it sounded cool.
It does sound cool. but when you...
Originally it was called Vitality and Agility was what I called the channel, which I think is a much worse name than Bodyweight Warrior.
I like Bodyweight Warrior better. it sounds good. And yeah, I like when you explain it. It makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think it can... Just like any kind of physical training, it extends towards all parts of your being and in your day and, you know, your life.
So. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's a reason Socrates said what he said. No man should grow old without knowing. Like, the mind and the body are incredibly interlinked.
Yes.
You know, you can't have one without the other. And certainly, like, if you have physical discipline, then there's a good chance that that's going to carry over to other aspects and vice versa.
And I think we're finding that out more and more with research and science that they are so interlinked.
And you know, you create to some extent some mental toughness, resilience from doing these physical endeavors, like having to endure some discomfort, which is part and parcel of training. Mm-hmm. If you do something like ice baths or saunas, or take on some, you know, greater achievement, I think. Like, you see this all the time. It's human nature to some extent. Like, people want to run a marathon or people want to go climb a mountain. It's human nature. We're hardwired to want to work towards something and achieve it.
Yes, I agree.
On a biochemistry level. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we've had that kind of hacked away a bit with technology. We basically figured out how to make the world as easy to get pleasure as possible, or certainly remove as many barriers as we can to that pleasure. So sometimes it's not useful, which is why training is a great outlet, because you can't cheat your way around these things unless you take some steroids.
Yes. Yep. And then you pay the price for that later, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really stigmatize steroids. Like, I have no problem with people using them. Okay. I just wish people would be more upfront about their use.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That goes back to the comparison thing again.
Yeah, I think there's a detrimental impact that it will have on people. There's also the element of just like fraud. Like, if you're selling something and you're taking gear, mm-hmm. you're lying. And, you know, that's, you know, your body is an advertisement for what you're selling, and you're lying. It's not honest. I don't know how people live with themselves when they say, like, I'm natural and you know, it's very evident that they're not and they're lying to their audience. I just think it also sets a bad example for people, bad expectations, because not everyone's going to look like that. And not everyone needs to look like that either. Like, it's good to take pride in what you look like, but we're all very different. We're all vastly different in terms of what we're going to find that our body will adapt and improve to. So I just think honesty is important. And, you know, you might have kids trying to imitate what you're doing because you're taking steroids, which, you know, if you're under the age of 18, even like 21, 25, like, you just don't need to be taking gear. Your testosterone is plenty high enough. You know, you should train for like 5+ years diligently. You know, see what you can do with your natural potential. You're not going to reach a plateau within 5 years. And then, you know, if you want to take that further, that's up to your own choice. That's your body. You can make that decision. I respect that. But yeah, just think there needs to... And to be honest, there's been a lot better conversation about it. This is not really... I'm talking out of my lane here because I'm bodyweight training. Like, I don't think steroids is a particular problem with body training. In fact, I think bodyweight training actually has some of the best information online, the most honest people.
Okay.
And generally speaking, from what I've observed and who I've interacted with, like, the most bullshit-free sort of stuff, it's not really a big... not really a big part of that kind of collective. I think people have a pretty acute bullshit meter.
I agree.
Bodyweight training. So I do, I respect that. But yeah, this is just an annoyance that I see, I guess, as somebody who is in the fitness industry of sorts.
I could agree with that. I think it sets bad expectations for other people who would want to set that as a goal and then go after that. And then when they completely fall short of that, even though they've...
You feel bad.
Yeah, then you feel bad about yourself.
You're like, oh, why am I not able to do this? And I was like, yeah, because the guy was lying. He's taking the secret sauce
right.
All day, every day.
Yes.
To get to that point.
Well, I kind of want to dive in a little bit more and learn more about you. What is a quote that you live by, and how would you apply it in your day-to-day life?
Whoa, a quote that I live by.
I know you already gave a couple quotes, but what would be one?
Yeah, I feel like the quote that I gave beforehand was more like my general reasoning for doing the stuff that I do, because ultimately, pretty much everything that I do is free online to some extent, and all the follow... I'm probably most popular on YouTube for the follow-along aspect of things, and I like to think that follow-along aspect is a way for people just to do stuff and get going and get... So, you know, that's my whole focus is like... I remember watching the fitness stuff back in the day, and it was like people were kind of elusive about maybe like, oh, this is kind of what I've done, but they wouldn't really give it to you. And I was like, oh, just tell me the information. Let me give it a try for myself. So I try to, as much as possible, like, do that when I make videos. So I think the whole, like, no man or woman should grow old without knowing the beauty or strength their body is capable of. That's kind of my thing. As I said, I don't really care what it is. I think bodyweight training is a fantastic and accessible way to do that.
Yes.
Likewise, developing your flexibility. I think flexibility can be a massive one for people who have never touched their toes before. Being able to, like, touch your toes for the first time, sit in a squat, you know, do basic stuff. It's kind of liberating, really, to have your body allow you to move how you want to move.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of quotes that I live by, I don't know. I've been really personally, the last year or 2 years, I've probably read a reasonable amount of Nietzsche and Jung, Schopenhauer, probably to name it a few. So that would be kind of where my head is at the moment, but I'm still trying to figure this out. So I'm not sure I have a quote to live by.
Okay. All right. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
I'm only 28. I haven't experienced too much of life. I'm still trying to figure this out, much like everyone else.
Right. I don't know if anybody ever completely figures it out. It's always a journey.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm sorry. I don't have a better answer for you. I feel like, I quite like Nietzsche's like life passion thing. I think that's a good one. And at the moment, I'm obviously like, this is a big passion for me. I feel quite strongly about health and fitness and bodyweight training and movement and that sort of thing. And it's something that I know will just be a practice for myself for life, whether or not I will present that as information on the internet or do what I'm doing as a job for life. I just know it'll be practice for life. And then I'm doing like some property narrations and trying some other passions as well. And you know, seeing where that takes me, basically.
Great. Yeah. And I think probably a lot of people listening to this, having a passion for at least some kind of fitness, hopefully throughout their entire life, is it's really the goal. The goal is the pursuit of being healthier and more fit, you know, more than you were yesterday.
For sure. But I feel like at a point that's not going to be possible.
Oh, yeah. We all get to that point. But that doesn't mean we can't pursue it.
No, absolutely. And the amount of... I think the next 30 years will be fascinating because...
I agree.
I don't think we've really experienced the wealth of knowledge that there is out there when it comes to health and fitness that we have currently. And there's a lot of people who feel very seriously about that. And I don't know if there... Obviously, there has been in the past... People arguably lived much healthier in the past, but I think like it'll be really interesting to see the impacts of this like long-term strength and conditioning, health and fitness as a passion, and what people will look like when they're 60 and 70. Because we certainly have a bit of a preconceived notion of like what it means to get old, and people often use that as an excuse. People are like, oh, I'm 40 now, so this is why I've got the X, Y, and Z wrong with me. I'm like, that's not the case. Like, yes, there are aspects to aging which are unavoidable. But the more I've done this, I've met some incredible people who are like 60, 70 odd, still doing handstands or doing splits or doing crazy stuff that I can't even comprehend doing at 27. So, I'm excited for the future.
I agree. And I mean, we even see people today running marathons who are in their 80s. And
that's mental.
Yeah, I think it's going to hopefully keep trending that way. And hopefully that is a better future for us, and instead of the other way, which a lot of people talk about also.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's seen Wally, right?
Yes.
It's all down to the choices you make. Like, to some extent, you maybe don't have power over everything, but you have a power to decide whether or not to use it or lose it.
Yes. Well, what would you say that your personal philosophy is?
I feel like I can't really... I mean, the personal philosophy I think I mentioned about, obviously, with the training side of things and the YouTube and the coaching, kind of why I do this as a job. Personally, other than that, I want to do things that I deem meaningful is kind of my focus. I'm not necessarily too interested on doing things that provide instant pleasure. I'm quite happy to grind it out and work at things. So I think ultimately like I enjoy building a project. I enjoy doing the work more than I enjoy the outcome. And that's just like a personal thing. So as long as I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I'm happy. So as I said, I don't really know at the moment. I don't have a life philosophy. You're chatting to me at a point of, what are you saying? Is it inflection point? Is that the right word? I don't know if that's the right word or not. So what is inflection? What does inflection mean? A change of curvature from convex? I don't know. Probably not, right?
No.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at a point in life where I'm sort of taking on or changing angles and trying different things and
okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what life's all about, right?
Yes.
So I don't know. Ask me in 10 years, I might have a better answer for you.
or maybe you'll be at another changing point in your life. But I think what...
I think I have my life philosophy. I think always question, just continually question what you believe and do. That's kind of what I try to do. I'm like, is this the right thing to do? Yeah. Is this a fair opinion, regardless of what the opinion may be?
I liked what you said about the work, that you enjoy the work many times more than the end result. And I personally think if the work is kind of the reward, then you know that you're going in the right direction.
Absolutely. I mean, if you can find something that you enjoy the work or the grind of, because ultimately whatever it is that you end up doing, the highlight, say achieving something or whatever. It's that's a very short part of your time spent in that practice. It's going to be mostly the journey, right? Not that I love that word, but that's ultimately what it will be.
Yeah.
We have short blips of maybe that little dopamine hit when we finally achieve something or do something, whatever that is in life, and that's cool. But if you can find something that like you really enjoy getting down in the dirt and grinding out, then you're gonna have a good time.
Yes, that I think that's when you'll really find success.
yeah.
All right. Well, this is the last question. This is the change the world question. if you were able to pick only one short message sent completely anonymous to every person in the world and they would really, really listen and take it to heart, what would that one message be? It's your chance.
I guess they are many inappropriate things that I probably shouldn't say. I think probably get outside. That would be the thing for me. Like, get outside to some extent and reconnect with nature.
Okay.
Whatever that is, go for a walk. I've recently been foraging for mushrooms with some friends.
Oh.
Like, the edible kind, not necessarily the hallucinogenic kind.
Yeah.
And that's been like, you know, I don't know. Certainly, wild food as a concept is quite alien. But obviously, like, that's really where we came from.
Right.
So I've really enjoyed that experience, getting outside, going somewhere kind of remote and trying to find something to eat. It's a very simple but very rewarding experience. Yeah. So
interesting.
And when people say, I don't know, get outside, and maybe people are like, oh, but it's cold and it's wet and it's dark. I'm like, there's still kind of beauty in that. There's still something. It doesn't need to be 20 degrees by a beach. Like, obviously that's preferable, but if you lived like that all the time, it would soon lose its appeal. So
yes,
yeah, get outside, get some sunlight, try to reconnect to nature. That's been a big thing for me over the past couple of years, especially I think sort of COVID reiterated that to me. Being stuck inside, I was like, that is massively important, just on a personal level.
I agree with you. So I live where it's not very warm. I'm in Michigan in the U.S.
Same. Yeah. Yours is probably arguably colder than where we are.
Yesterday, yeah, it took a little bit of convincing myself, but went for, I think it was about a 3.5 mile run, and it's about 30 degrees outside, so a little cold, but yeah, and
that's 1 degrees in metric, right?
Yes.
30 Fahrenheit, 1 Celsius. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool.
So
brisk.
little cold, but it was sunny out, and I mean, it's always just feels good to get outside. Mm-hmm. So I can agree with getting outside. I think that can change a lot of people's day and life.
Yeah, and you might interact with people and think the world's not as bad as it may seem.
Right.
or maybe it'll be a terrible interaction and you'll be like, no, I definitely should have stayed inside, the world. It really could go one or two ways.
It could. Yep. I think usually, though, it's one of those things. It's kind of like working out. After you get done, you're like, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad I made that happen.
Yep. Yeah, we're hardwired to seek comfort, right? We're like, you know, if you're sat in bed and it's nice and warm and it's cold outside, it's raining, don't want to go outside. But yeah, ultimately, you feel better for doing it. Just like training.
Yep. All right. Well, can you share with us how we can connect with you? And then we're going to say goodbye.
Sure. I mean, if you want useful information, I guess YouTube's probably the best place for that. I've got various tutorials, videos, follow-alongs, anything that can help you out. If you want to see more informal stuff, I share more, usually dog spam at the moment, on Instagram at Bodyweight Warrior, or The Bodyweight Warrior. I think it might be actually on Instagram. And that's really it. That's all I post on social media, to be honest with you. But yeah, Instagram for the weird stuff and YouTube for the useful stuff.
Is your dog still on the bed behind you?
She is asleep, if you can see her. You probably can't quite see her.
I think I can see her.
The little blonde ball.
Yep.
On the bed. When she's not causing havoc, she's sleeping. So this is a good time to have a podcast.
Perfect then. Perfect. Yeah, she's only 4 months, you said, right?
Yeah, she's 4 months old. So there's two other dogs as well. So she's got plenty of company.
Oh, nice, a good family.
She's now the new star of the channel. So I've fully given the reins over to her. She has become the new coach.
great. You're probably going to be even more wildly popular now.
Honestly, I think I posted the first picture I had of Molly, like she was literally like the size of a hamster, and I posted like just a really bad, like just normal handstand, and then like she was just in the frame sniffing about, and it got like the most likes that I've ever got on the Instagram post. And I was like, okay, I see how it is. Like,
yep.
More Molly, less of me.
Yes. If she could do handstands, I think that would benefit everybody.
She's still training. She's still practicing.
It takes time.
It does. It takes time. She's developing her warrior energy right now.
Great. All right. Well, after the show, head over to behindthefitness.com. You'll find links to videos for each episode, links to connect with Tom, and more. Also, be sure to check out Tom's training programs. He's got everything you need to get stronger and more flexible no matter where you're at and where you're starting from. Tom, thank you again so much for spending time with us and letting us get to know you a bit better. It was truly powerful.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.